Well, good morning, men. And Happy New Year to each of you. Let me read you the text from a commercial that runs on CNN. Feel like you're going nowhere? Unable to move forwards in life? Or in love? Talk to California psychics. Our trusted psychics can give you the trusted guidance you need to see things clearly. Our guarantee, if it's not life-changing, it's free. Wait for it. Experience the joy of certainty. California psychics. Experience certainty. I get chills every time I read or I see that commercial. In my mind, this is the world's wisdom, and many Americans, including professing Christians, follow this wisdom. According to Pew Research, 6 out of 10 American adults believe in at least one of the following: reincarnation, astrology, psychics, and the presence of spiritual energy in physical objects like trees, mountains, or stones. And very specifically, 4 out of 10 American adults believe in psychics and spiritual energy. Again, this is from a Pew Research study conducted in 2017. And we're going to take a deep dive into false wisdom this morning. So as you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, we're going to look at the first 5 verses. I'm going to remind us of the context of our scripture verses this morning. Now, Paul is writing to the Christian believers, his flock in Corinth, Greece, a city known for its art, philosophy, and lots of different pagan religions. The city had a particularly bad reputation for immorality. And Paul is writing specifically to address the problems of sexual immorality, lawsuits among believers, debauchery, and a host of other divisions and quarrels among his flock. All because of the false wisdom that was insidiously spreading through his flock, through the church. In short, Paul is challenging each of the believers to examine every area of their life through the lens of the gospel. So with that as a backdrop, let's dive into the text. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 1, starting with verse 20. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Paul is reminding the Christians in Corinth and us this morning of what they believed. Look at verse 23 again. We preach Christ crucified. When Paul, this small, from the standpoint of his stature, converted Jewish Pharisee, had shown up in Corinth 2 to 3 years earlier, he entered a city known for its intellectual community, its scholars, its artsy community, and its vast number of pagan religions, as I said earlier, and its incredible promiscuity. It was a city that glorified man and the accomplishments of man and the vices of man. And Paul had shown up and preached the gospel of Christ crucified for the redemption of sins and proclaim Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I want you to think about what Paul and his fellow believers had to contend with during their day. You think we have a tough today? Let me give you an idea of the culture during Paul's time. During Paul's day, if someone in the Roman Empire, which by the way was the known world at that time, wanted to disparage someone, they called them a Corinthian. It was not a term of endearment. If you were to call a woman a Corinthian girl, you're insinuating and implying that she's promiscuous. In today's vernacular, excuse the shocking language, you'd call her a slut, a woman who sleeps around. And the Corinthians also prided themselves on their intellectual community, their ability to debate. They loved to debate. And so into this community, Paul brings this message of the Son of God crucified on a Roman cross. And I can just imagine the Greek intellectuals, the philosophers, telling Paul, let me get this right, Paul. You want me to believe in a God who was crucified like a criminal on a Roman cross? What deity in their right mind would do that? That's not a God of strength. Any God that would die on a bloody Roman cross, especially as a sacrifice for mortals, would be seen as weak at best and foolish to all. And Paul is reminding the believers in Corinth and us this morning here and listening online, God will shame the wise and the strong by giving the ability to believe in the cross of Jesus Christ to those who we regard as weak and foolish. And Paul is in essence saying, and he's reminding us, God's wisdom is not man's wisdom multiplied to the highest level. It's a wisdom of a completely different order, a completely different kind of wisdom altogether that we mere humans can't even begin to fathom. And that's why Isaiah gets it, and that's why it's so important for us men to know the text. Isaiah says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Isaiah got it. That's true wisdom. Now, Bob Day is going to talk to you more about true wisdom next week. When we talk about wisdom, the founder of our ministry, Chris White, his life purpose statement is to be wise. And I know that Chris is not referring to worldly wisdom here. And if you've read his book, you'll know that the gospel saved him from worldly wisdom and the end that it would lead to. What a great life purpose statement. It's easy to remember, easy to recall, and an incredible reminder to focus on godly wisdom, not the world's wisdom. Gentlemen, this year, 2024, they're going to be the same sirens, the same voices calling to you, trying to get your attention. Traditional social media, politicians especially, in this year of election. And I want you to remember, our culture has drifted so far from our Judeo-Christian roots this year, and it looks like it's continuing to drift further and further away. And there's an ever-increasing amount of false wisdom being promulgated in the world that is going to be clamoring for your attention. And it's going to try to chip away at your beliefs. And just like the Corinthians, we're at risk of sliding back into the culture. You know, one of the men at our table shared just before the break that his sister doesn't believe that Judeo-Christian value system is the right one for this country anymore. It shocked him and scared him. Now, the world will tell you to pursue your own happiness. And by the way, you should let others pursue their happiness. It's okay if a boy wants to become a girl, or a girl wants to become a boy, or if your child wants to identify as a cat or a dog, you should provide a litter for them at school. They should be given that right. After all, don't they have the right to be happy? As Christ followers, men, we're called to pursue godliness, not fleeting worldly happiness. In the words of San Antonio Spurs basketball coach Greg Popovich, I don't do happy. Happy has no real lasting value. There's contentment and incredible joy in godly wisdom. And if there's one thing I can promise you in 2024, it's this. You are going to experience sorrow, no matter how happy you endeavor to be. I don't mean to be Johnny Raincloud this morning, but I promise you at some point, at some time during the year, you are going to be troubled. You or your loved ones will experience financial hardship, health, maybe loss. I already experienced it. I lost my godfather 2 days ago. Suddenly, just died. Where are you going to look to for wisdom and for help? That's the real question. Now, I want each of us here this morning or listening online to experience the joy of certainty in 2024. But I promise you, it's not going to come from California psychics. There's only one person and one way to get that, and it starts with believing and acknowledging that Christ was crucified on a cross, on a landfill outside of Jerusalem, as a sacrifice for your sins. As a perfect substitute for sin, for your sins. The righteous for the unrighteous. And because he did that, he reconciled us to God the Father. Men, this message is viewed as madness. It's still ridiculed today, just like it was 2,000 years ago. And you might think that's truer today, but nothing's changed in the last 2,000 years. It's just that we in our lifetime are experiencing greater consequences for believing in the gospel and believing in the power of God's word. My question is, how eager will you be in 2024 to defend that belief, maybe even to just acknowledge that belief in your work communities, in your neighborhood? Because the gospel demands a response. Every Friday morning, he did it again today, Todd Harlow greets us here at this location. And he references Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And this wonderful wisdom is called through godly men throughout history. And it reminds them that they are not alone, and that for each one of us to grow and to improve in wisdom, godly wisdom, we need to mentor and to be mentored by others in the faith. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. So who are you walking with, guys? Who are you walking with, gentlemen? And I'm not just talking about the 90 minutes every Friday morning. Is that a one-off in your life? How many of you made New Year's resolutions for 2024? I'm just curious. So a couple of people are honest and their hands came up. Okay, there we go. And I'm sure many of you made resolutions about your financial stability, your health, maybe even your giving. Certainly, hopefully, to spend more time with your wife or your children, your grandchildren. But did you make a commitment to spend more time with your Savior? And if you said, well, I spend time in God's Word, that's good. Did you make a commitment to get to increase or make that relationship even better with more time in the text or more time in prayer? That's the best way to ensure we can recognize and refute false wisdom of this world. Now, 2 Timothy 3:16, and you've heard this verse before. It should be ingrained in your mind. All Scripture. It doesn't say not some Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful. So let's use it, trust it, and obey it this new year. Do that, men. Do that this year. And see the impact on those around you, in your community, in your family, your children, your grandchildren. And at the end of the year, like the Apostle John, you can say, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. Let's pray. Lord, this year, we're going to start either with what you have to say or with what the world has to say. And where we start listening may very well determine where we finish. Lord, help us to be leaders that stand firm for you and your word. And let us pursue your wisdom and be cognizant of the false noise around us this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great time at your tables.